ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's on the mind of the country's biggest, most influential and most innovative business leaders?
I'd like to avoid being too distracted by any one politician.
You get to find out every Friday with me, Alan Kohler, as I sit down with the people influencing the markets, the economy and the ideas shaping our world.
There's three things that I'm really worried about and Australian Super worries about. One is productivity, one is inequality, and the most dominant for me, the most pressing, is housing.
Find That's Business with Alan Kohler on the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcast.
Why do we only try to control inflation with interest rates? What if the government made everyone pay a bit more super or increased the GST instead, so the financial pain is spread more evenly across the population? Today, independent economist Chris Richardson on the latest rate rises and the other options for controlling inflation. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Chris, we've had three consecutive rate rises this year, so the three cuts we had last year have disappeared, which is pretty hard for home borrowers, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. They have been sweating this for a long time. Australians have some of the biggest borrowings as families in the world relative to our incomes. When interest rates move, it really has an impact.
The Reserve Bank has today hiked interest rates for the third straight time this year. The increase of 25 basis points brings the cash rate to 4.35%.
Today, as you know, the board decided to raise the cash rate by 25 basis points. Since the start of the year, the cash rate has now been increased by 75 basis points. We have to stop inflation because, yes, the mortgage cost is hurting, but it's all those other things that are hurting people. The rise in prices of groceries, the rise in price of fuel, all those sorts of things are hurting people. We've got to get the inflation rate down.
Do you think the Reserve Bank got it wrong by dropping rates in the first place? Should it have just left them where they were?
We now know that they should have just left them where they were, and we'd have been in better shape. To be fair to the Reserve Bank at the time, it looked as though it was relatively safe to cut rates. Sadly, though, the story began to change. Inflation began to pick up again, and the Reserve Bank began to sweat.
The interest rate is the tool we've got. It's blunt. It does affect people in different ways, but it's the best way we've got of controlling inflation. And that's ultimately what we have to do.
So, Chris, what I want to do with you now is consider if there's another way to control inflation. One option that is discussed, of course, is bringing super into play. Now, how would that work instead of using interest rates, using superannuation?
Well, you could make more money come out of wages and go into super. Now, that would require a change to the way we do it. At the moment, the super comes out of your employer's money rather than yours. Mm. This extra bit that we're talking about would have to come out of yours.
Right.
And it's worth noting, true of this idea, true of all of them, if you think of inflation as too much money chasing too little stuff, basically, the amount we're spending is running ahead of the ability of the Australian economy to produce. That's what drives inflation. And interest rates, in effect, suck money out of the economy. This is, you get less in your pay packet and more goes into super to be tucked away for the future. Mm. It's just another way of having some pain now, reducing our ability to spend today.
So it's like deferring pay. You'd increase the required super contribution when inflation is high and then what, bring it back down when inflation drops. Is that actually a possibility? Could that actually happen?
Oh, it absolutely could. Mm. And what we are essentially talking about is saying that, well, maybe we can spread this pain differently. In Australia, home borrowers tend to think, that they are feeling the bulk of the pain. And that's true, partly because we have such big borrowings as a nation, partly because our mortgage rates jump up and down every time the Reserve Bank does something. And the underlying question is, well, you know, how can we spread that burden a bit differently, maybe less falling on those with a mortgage and more in superannuation? We're talking about more falling on wage earners. Now, in many cases, that's going to be the same people, but in some cases, not.
So, Chris, manipulating super contributions, it could be used as a tool to control inflation instead of interest rates. Now, another potential tool could be increasing the GST, right?
Oh, absolutely. You would temporarily increase what is essentially a tax on shopping. And again, what we are saying is still pain. You know, you're still trying to reduce the amount of money getting spent in Australia to bring it more in line with what the economy can produce. That's what would drive inflation down. But instead of relying very much as we do at the moment on the shoulders of those with a mortgage, or we talked about the superannuation contributions that shifts it onto the shoulders of wage earners, you could use the GST and shift it onto the shoulders of shoppers. But what you can't get is something that removes the pain. You know, a lot of the discussion, people keep saying there must be a better way, but in the back of their mind, I suspect they're all thinking, well, is there a way to do this without pain? No, we can shift the pain around. Mm. But sadly, a fight against inflation is a fight that involves pain.
How would that work? Would you, what, increase it by 0.25%, the GST?
Well, and again, it depends on how big the inflation fight is. And the GST comes with the initial complication that it would simply push up prices further, obviously, though the Reserve Bank would ignore that in terms of setting interest rates. Mm-hmm. But how much you shift interest rates, or how much you take away from that response and put it into more money going into super, or more going into GST and hence the prices that you're paying in supermarkets and elsewhere, that would simply depend on how big an inflation fight we have.
Right. Okay. And also, of course, raising the GST would really impact lower income families more than others, I suppose.
Yeah, and that side of it, when you're talking about super contributions, you are picking wage earners, but some people, of course, obviously have, you know, higher wages and salaries than others. When it comes to the GST, you would be more notably hurting the less well off, which is a reminder of, you know, why the Reserve Bank always says, well, it wants to fight inflation because inflation hurts the poor the most. You can think of inflation as the GST keeps going up. You know, it has an impact on those people who have to spend. They face higher prices, and that hurts the poor the most.
All right. So if not, then raising the GST, why? I mean, maybe this is a silly question, but why can't we just then increase income tax when inflation is high and bring it back down when it's under control?
We absolutely can. Uh-huh. Those are different shoulders, basically. The personal income tax in Australia, the top 20% of personal taxpayers pay about 60% of all personal tax. Mm. So if you're raising the GST, you're hitting those on low incomes. If you're raising income tax, you're hitting those on high incomes. Super is more broadly across wage earners. And of course, the existing way, interest rates, is affecting borrowers. There's a bit of a temptation, I suspect, for everybody to think, well, I would prefer the lever that is used is the one that affects me the least.
Yes, of course. All right. Well, what about just clamping down on government spending? That is also an option, isn't it, to control inflation? Just explain that.
I would describe it as too much money chasing too little stuff, and, you know, too much demand relative to supply. And governments have an impact on demand too. If they spend more, well, that affects inflation. If they tax more, that affects inflation in the other direction. You know, so what governments do, state as well as federal, and the other day the RBA governor specifically called out the states, has an impact.
Yeah, sure. And Michelle Bullock, the governor, she's also warned ahead of this week's budget that will be delivered by Jim Chalmers to be very careful about what he hands out.
So all I'm saying is that the extent to which government make up the shortfalls for households by giving them more money, it makes it harder to dampen demand.
She does make that point. Now, to be clear, you can have governments giving us handouts of some kind. You know, so for example, the cut to petrol taxes that we have at the moment, you know, governments can do that without having an impact on inflation, because what they've done there is to give us some money that we will spend and hence tend to put up inflation. They can just take some money out. Otherwise, they can lower other spending, they can raise taxes. So governments can walk and chew gum, if you like. Mm-hmm. They can give us some cost of living relief so long as they offset it otherwise.
Mm. Okay, all right. Well, dare I ask, what about cracking down on companies that continually jack up prices perhaps more than they need to? That would help, would it not, bring down these inflationary pressures?
It would, but less than you think. Mm. So a couple of years ago, there was a lot of excitement about the supermarkets. And I remember doing the calculation at the time. If the supermarkets had the same profit margins during COVID as they had before COVID, and I forget the exact answer, but the answer is it makes spectacularly little difference to the living standards of Australians. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't have good competition laws in Australia. We absolutely should. But it's a little too easy, I suspect, to blame businesses. To the extent there are rip-off profits out there, they tend to be collected more by our miners who are getting that money from foreign customers, though there, again, there's the separate issue of do we get enough tax for some of our natural resources.
Yes, all right, which is a raging debate at the moment. All right. Well, look, I have one more to put to you then, Chris. What about we change our inflationary target? Currently it's at 2 to 3%. Could we not just push that up? Which is probably not a sensible question to put to an economist, but please explain to me why we can't do that.
It is a sensible question, and it's a great one. And to be clear, my view is not a majority one. It's very much a minority one. But if you think of what we're targeting with inflation, the idea is simply just a little bit of inflation, you know, low on average, helps grease the wheels of the economy as it works. And in a sense, that just gives us a bit of a bumper bar. You really don't want to have the opposite problem that we have today, where prices are falling instead of rising, and it becomes hard to keep the economy moving because it's hard to have interest rates go below zero. I think in a world which is more shocking in every sense, you know, the last boring year of your life, Sam, was 2006, and it's been a bit of a white-knuckle ride ever since. In a world with more shocks, I'd be quite happy to see a bigger bumper bar instead of an average 2.5%, you know, maybe 3 or 3.5%, and there would be little, it doesn't do away with the problem, but it might help us smooth some of those problems.
Well, Chris, of course, the government isn't actually looking for different tools right at the moment to control inflation other than interest rates. And it is sort of convenient for any government, isn't it? Because the independent Reserve Bank has to make the decision.
Absolutely. And to be fair, I think the way we do it is not perfect, but is probably, you know, those moves in interest rates are probably the best way to fight it.
Okay.
To also be fair, governments prefer it. You know, as you say, it gives them a fall guy or fall girl, you know, and they sort of pretend it's got nothing to do with us. And sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with them, and sometimes it does.
So history shows us, does it, that interest rates, it's the best way to deal with inflationary pressures, even though, of course, sometimes the RBA does get it wrong, and that can be pretty painful.
For sure. And we may want to widen the shoulders a little. We might, in particular, want governments to be more aware of an inflation fight or a lack of inflation fight in their decisions. But by and large, I wouldn't particularly change the way we do it. And I have to tell you, there's no magic wand. I mean, each of these things we've gone through is talking about some sort of pain to win the fight against inflation.
All right. So what do you think? With rates rising again and a lot of households in a fair bit of financial pain, is it worth at least having this discussion and considering alternatives? Do you think at any point in the future this could actually change this system?
So you should always think about this. I mean, this is one of the most important questions in Australia. So yes, the government, the Treasury needs to be thinking about these things. Out of those options, maybe a shift in superannuation out of your wage would be the best.
Chris Richardson is an independent economist. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. To get in touch with the team, please email us on ABC News Daily at abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.